Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, not even the heaven of heavens can contain you, yet you have chosen to be here among us in your holy sanctuary. We come into your presence today with awe and wonder, realizing that you are here with us in your glory and holiness. We come into your presence with joy and rejoicing, for here we see your grace and receive your mercy. May our worship be pleasing to you, and may we be strengthened and blessed by your Holy Spirit. Hear us and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. I invite you to stand for the last verse. I invite you to follow our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And by the authority and command of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed on heaven, where true joys are found. We pray this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is a responsive reading of selected verses from Psalm 33. It begins on the middle of page 4 in your bulletin. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Our second reading for today is from John chapter 14. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Glory be to thee, O Lord. These words Jesus spoke were spoken to his disciples the night before he was crucified. In these words, he tells us very clearly he is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to heaven is through him. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Here ends our gospel reading. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 6. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the rock of our salvation, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll read verses 2 through 10. Like newborn babies, crave the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow up with the result being salvation. Certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood in order to bring spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it says in Scripture, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will certainly not be put to shame. Therefore, for you who believe, this is an honor. But for those who do not believe, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone over which they stumble, and a rock over which they fall. Because they continue to disobey the word, they stumble over it, and that is the consequence appointed for them. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Like a rock. You may recognize that phrase as the longtime slogan for Chevy trucks. Like a rock. What kind of qualities of a rock do you think the manufacturer of Chevy trucks wanted you to think of when they used that as their slogan? Probably not the fact that rocks can't move on their own, or that they're really, really uncomfortable to sit on. Probably not what they're going for with that longtime slogan. They're probably thinking more along the lines of, a rock is dependable. A rock exudes strength, durability. That's probably what they're thinking of when they want you to think of their trucks being like a rock. Chevrolet was, of course, not the first to use the rock as a symbol. Our text this morning was actually written by an apostle whose name means rock or a stone. That was, of course, the apostle Peter. In our text, he's writing about the true rock, one that is more dependable, stronger, and more permanent than any other rock there ever was, whether real or symbolic. He is, of course, speaking of Jesus, the rock. Peter describes some of Jesus' rock-like qualities in our text as he calls Jesus the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious. Notice he calls Jesus a living stone. That means he's not dead. He's not a lifeless rock, not a lifeless hunk of granite. And the body of Jesus, the rock, did not stay lifeless in the rock of the tomb. He is alive. He lives and he reigns forever. He is the living rock, the living stone that divides all people into two groups. Those who believe in him, those who depend on him and rely on him for salvation and build their lives on him, the living stone, and those who reject him, those who stumble over him and his words and are destroyed because of their unbelief. Jesus is indeed the rock of our salvation, as the book of Psalms declares. That is the illustration that Peter is conveying in this first type of rock that he compares Jesus to in our text. Peter first calls Jesus the cornerstone. For it says in Scripture, and then Peter quotes from the Old Testament, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And the one who believes in him will certainly not be put to shame." In our day, the laying of a cornerstone is mostly a symbolic or ceremonial gesture. In fact, the first church I served had one of those ceremonial cornerstones near the entrance of the church. It had the name of the church on the stone, it had the date the church was built, and then it had a reference to Ephesians 2, verse 8. That passage read this, "By grace are ye saved through faith." I like that ceremonial cornerstone because the passage there, the gospel message on that cornerstone, reminded us of the true cornerstone on which the church, the congregation, was built, Jesus and his word. In Peter's day, however, the cornerstone was not symbolic. It was not some sort of ceremonial thing. It was very important, most important block in any building. That cornerstone needed to be perfectly measured and cut because all the other foundation stones would be measured against it. If that cornerstone was not perfectly cut, then the foundation stones would be off as well. If the foundation stones were off, the rest of the stones that were used to build the building would also be off, and that building would not last very long. If your foundation and cornerstone were bad, the rest of the building would be bad as well. Christ, of course, is called the cornerstone because he is the perfect cornerstone. He is the centerpiece of God's church. He's the focal point. He is the foundation on which God's church is built upon. And the foundation that is built on that cornerstone is, of course, the Bible, the Word of God itself. The God-inspired words of both the Old and New Testament. That is our foundation, and the Bible's central message, Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Without that foundation and that cornerstone, Christ's church would eventually fall. Without that cornerstone, without that foundation, we would fall eternally. Our faith and our life are built on that foundation with Christ as the cornerstone. All our teaching, our believing, and our living are measured against that cornerstone, measured in Christ. In a world that's full of confusion, temptation, lies, and deception, the word of our Lord remains true. It remains unchangeable. That perfect cornerstone remains our rock. The law of God cuts through all our excuses, our rationalizations, our moral compromises that so many people and so much in our culture makes, and it holds us instead accountable to God's perfect moral standards, his unchanging standards of his law. But God's word gives us more than just the law because we know we can't measure up to that perfect standard that Christ's cornerstone cuts for us. We also have the gospel. That perfect gospel that cuts through all of Satan's lies about our worthlessness, the despair that he brings us, the guilt that we feel, the shame that we feel over our sins, and he holds before our eyes and our hearts that perfect gospel of Jesus' cross, where we find forgiveness. It holds before our eyes the empty tomb, where we find our guarantee of eternal life. Notice also from our text that in Jesus, the living stone, you also, like living stones, are being built as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood in order to bring spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we are pictured as being individual building blocks of Christ's church. We, connected to that living stone, are living stones ourselves. I think it's interesting that Peter calls us living stones and doesn't use a term like living blocks or living bricks. Blocks and bricks, at least in my mind, would imply that we're all the same. We're all alike, the same shape, the same color, the same texture, the same size. However, when you look around you, do you see that we're all exactly the same? No, not just in our looks and appearance, size, shape, color, but also in the different gifts that we are given. We are very unique stones in God's church. You are truly a one of a kind of God's creation. There's no one else in creation exactly like you. And despite our own individuality, despite our own uniqueness as living stones, despite the incredible variety and talents and interests and personalities that we have, we do have a real oneness. A oneness that is found in the mortar that glues us together as living stones in Christ's church. Peter says that we living stones are being built up as a spiritual house through Jesus Christ. He's the one that keeps us together and makes us one and helps us grow. How do we living stones grow in that oneness with Christ and with each other? How do we living stones draw our strength from Christ, the living stone, the cornerstone of our faith, and use those gifts and talents he has given us for the benefit of his kingdom, for the growth of his church here on this earth? Well, we do so in the same way that we grew physically when we were babies. We drank milk. Peter tells us in our text, like newborn babies, crave the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow up, with the result being salvation. Certainly you have tasted that the Lord is good. Notice how Peter puts that. He says, the pure milk of the word. That's where we get our spiritual strength and our growth. Only from the pure milk of God's word, with no harmful additives, subtractions, or substitutions. Jesus is also described as another type of rock in our text. A rock that is maybe a bit more unexpected, surprising, and even disturbing. He's called in our text a stone over which they stumble, and a rock over which they fall. Because they continue to disobey the word, they stumble over it. And that is the consequence appointed for them. So Jesus, the rock, is the cornerstone for those who believe. The stone which the builders rejected by those who do not believe, but for the unbeliever, Jesus is a stumbling block. He's a fearsome boulder, an unmovable obstacle which will eventually crush and shatter all who reject him and do not build their faith on him for salvation. The salvation that he came to bring them freely and willingly and lovingly. So if we trust in something else instead, if we trust in our own good works, if we trust in our own righteousness, or if we trust in the fact that we're not as bad as the guy next to us, and therefore God must be, oh, grading on a curve, and he's going to let me into heaven because I'm not that bad, well, our souls are going to be smashed on the rock of Christ's own words. From John chapter 3, where he said, he who believes in him, God's Son, is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible clearly tells us how we are saved. Remember that cornerstone I mentioned from the first church I served in, those words from Ephesians chapter 4. It says, for by grace you have been saved. That word grace means undeserved love. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And how about those words we heard from Jesus' own mouth from John 14 in our gospel reading for today? When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Those words for us who believe are the words of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but to many, to those who do not believe, those words are offensive. They're a stumbling block for many people. What do you mean Jesus is the only way to heaven? What do you mean that he is the only true God, the only way to know the true God? What about all those billions of people in the world who do not believe in Jesus as their Savior and their God? Are they all condemned? Our own reason, our own feelings can be offended at these words. But these are not words that we came up with on our own. These are not words we invented. These are the very words of Jesus himself. He taught it. He came to be the cornerstone of faith, life, and salvation for all people, for every time, for every place, and every culture. That's why he died for the sins of the entire world. But for those who did not believe in him, like the Pharisees and many of the religious leaders of his day who rejected him and made him their enemy, he is an immovable, unbreakable stumbling block upon which they will eventually be judged and condemned. So how about you? What do you do with this rock? Is Jesus your cornerstone? Or are you offended by Jesus and his words? Is he instead a stumbling block to you? Remember the account of Jesus feeding the 5,000 when he miraculously fed those people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. After that incredible miracle, Jesus wanted to teach people that he was the true bread of life and that those who ate from him, that is, believed in him, had everlasting life. Do you remember what many of the people said in response to that soul-saving truth that Jesus tried to convey to them after he fed them physical bread? This is what they said. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Those are some of the saddest, most tragic words in all of Scripture. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples after these people started leaving and saying, "This is a hard saying, we're out of here"? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples were complaining about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" And Peter, the one who is the inspired writer of our text, the one who often spoke up first in answering for the disciples, answered Jesus' question brilliantly. May we respond with the same answer Peter answered with. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." By God's grace, we are able to hear and believe Peter's incredible reminder, not just in those words he confessed to Jesus, but the incredible reminder in the words he writes for us in the last verses of our text. "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At one time you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. At one time you were not shown mercy, but now you have been shown mercy." May Jesus always be the rock of our life, the rock of our salvation, the living stone that gives us life and then joins us with the inseparable mortar of faith in him and fellowship and love with our fellow living stones. May he never be a stumbling block to us, but rather may we joyfully and confidently always sing in the last words of our, or in the words of our closing hymn for today, "Christ is our cornerstone, On him alone we build. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. Are there any prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus Christ, you are our risen, ever-living Savior. You are the living stone who is the cornerstone of our faith and life. We praise you with our whole being for all the wonderful things you have done for us. Dear Lord and Savior, we praise you for the privilege of prayer which God has given us in your name, for your intercession for us at God's throne, for your never-failing presence in our lives, for your constant protection, for your gift to us of the Holy Spirit, for the washing of our sins in baptism, and our communion with you in the Holy Supper, for your help in all our troubles, as well as your healing of our illnesses and your comfort to ease our sorrows. We thank and praise you for the home that you are preparing for us in heaven and your promise to come again and receive us to yourself. We praise and thank you for the hope of the resurrection from the dead and for the forgiveness of all our sins and the hope of everlasting life. For these and all other blessings, may our tongues be loosed to speak and sing your praise both now and in eternity. Precious Redeemer and Rock of our salvation, through the Spirit, fill us with a desire to feed spiritually upon you, the true bread of life. Make your word, through which you come to us, sweeter than honey to our taste. Let it nourish and strengthen our faith. Make yourself known to us as the bread of life, to those who are spiritually starving throughout the world. Cause your gospel to be preached to them and move them to believe it. May the whole world learn to trust your name, bringing them to faith and trusting you for every good and needful blessing. To the glory of your saving name, we pray all these things, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Built on the Rock. Thank you. Please rise. We continue on the top of page 11 in your bulletin. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We join now in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. You may be seated. This time we ask communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation of the Church of the Lutheran Confession to take part in the Lord's Supper with us at this time. As we have been doing, we'll begin with those who'd like to take the Lord's Supper from the pew. Please take out your communion packets. First, take the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. At the direction of our ushers, we invite those who'd like to come forward to take the Lord's Supper at the altar. Please rise. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 14 in your bulletin.
I've seen that.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is Christ is Our Cornerstone. Please stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. A few announcements following the service here. I'll be heading up to our service in Hayward for our 1 o'clock service and a 2 o'clock church council meeting there. This week, our Board of Education will meet on Wednesday via Zoom at 6 p.m. Next Sunday, a reminder, next Sunday is Mother's Day. We'll have our worship service and Bible class at the usual time, 9 a.m. for Bible class, worship service at 10. Please check your mailboxes if you have not yet. There is a CLC Spring Coordinating Council summary. This is a summary of the different boards that met in April and some of the things that resulted from those meetings. So please take a look at that summary in your mailbox and grab that before you leave today. There's also a note about new orphan sponsorships available in Uganda. That was one of the places I visited last summer. Pastor Daniel and his wife Ida have an orphanage on their property. Pastor Daniel has recently, his congregation has recently joined in fellowship with us, and we are sponsoring orphans now there. So if you want more information, there's some in the bulletin, and Dan Rail is the contact for that specific thing. But if you have any other questions, you can certainly speak to me about it. I'm on the kinship committee. Any other announcements for today? Yes?
If anybody would like to send a meal to the Weinbergers, I'm going to visit them on Thursday. Happy to pick it up for me. You can drop it at my house.
Okay, anyone wants to drop a meal to the Weinbergers, please give it to Leslie before Thursday. Also, there is a greeting card in the entryway for one of our former members who's graduating this year. So please sign that before you leave today as well and wish them a blessed and happy graduation in a couple of weeks. Any other announcements? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.